Well, we come to Sardis. Of course, we're covering seven churches, and these churches were there at the time of the book of Revelation when these letters were sent to them through John. And they're also prophetic. These churches have been going on throughout history. In particular, the last four churches have been going on and will go on until the Lord comes back. And so it's so interesting, you know, history is something that, you know, when I was young, I just did not care about history. I don't know why we have to learn this stuff, but now I love history. There's something going on in human history. You know what it is? It's the divine history. It's something related to God's move on the earth. And His move is altogether wrapped up in Christ and the church. God's heart's desire is to dispense Himself into man. Right? He loves to dispense Himself. This is His economy. This is His plan to dispense Himself into man. And as He dispenses Himself into us, He becomes everything to us. He becomes our life, our content. He becomes the shining in the lampstands for Him to shine in this dark night. So praise the Lord, we're here. And we're in a special place at a special time. I just feel like all of you are blessed. You're so blessed to be here. 2012, you're here and you're hearing the things that you're getting to hear. I'm just telling you, there's princes, there's kings, there's wise men who'd love to hear the things that you've heard and the things that you will hear. Because there's been something hidden for the ages. It's the mystery of Christ, of God, Christ, and the mystery of Christ, the church. It's been so hidden. Well, we come to this matter of Sardis. And Sardis, I think you all know, but we need to touch this, and that is, you know, the Roman Catholic Church, you got a good picture last night, what happened in history. And so things got really bad. All over the earth, the Roman Catholic Church was growing. By the time you get to the 1500s, the 16th century, the Roman Catholic Church was big. Even Spain was in control, and it was spreading Catholicism everywhere. And at that time, the only other real thing going on that was related to the Catholic Church was the Greek Orthodox Church. That was a separation of the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church was the West, and the Greek Orthodox Church was to the East, related. It had as its capital Constantinople. And the Roman Catholic Church had Rome as its center, and they split. And they continue to split until this day. But the Roman Catholic Church was big. It was taking over everything. And if it wasn't for the Lord raising up Great Britain in the 1500s, with the Spanish Armada being defeated by Great Britain, Catholicism would have taken over the whole world. So the enemy did his thing, and it was there for 1,000 years almost. And here it is, it's the 1500s. And then there's a big reaction. Hallelujah! Amen. God reacted! Amen. Praise the Lord! Amen. And there's some ones that were one with Him in His reaction. And when God reacts, you know what happens? There's recovery. There's a recovery. So God reacted through a man, Martin Luther, who was part of the Catholic Church. And actually, he had already reacted, like others that Craig mentioned last night, John Huss. He had reacted and got himself killed in the Catholic Church. Well, Martin Luther, he rose up seeing something marvelous in the Word, and that is, a man is justified by faith. Wow! The Bible says it. Look, in Romans, we're justified by faith, not by works. Can you believe it? And he was, I think, at the time when he saw this, he was on his knees, knees bleeding, going up some stairs, you know, to some holy site. I can't remember the story. And when the Lord's light shined on him, and he realized, it's not by works. It's not by indulgences. Salvation is by faith in Christ. This was revolutionary. Can you believe that? Something so simple. Listen, that was only like 500 years ago, brothers and sisters. The Lord reacted, and there was recovery Praise the Lord, justification by faith was the beginning of this recovery. Amen. This way for man to get saved. Amen. Well, what happened, a number of the nations, this was in Germany, and some of the nations around there, they supported Luther against the Roman Catholic Church. And that was kind of a protection for him. Otherwise, he'd have been killed like John Huss as well. But these others, they stood with him, and their motive was different. They wanted to go against the Roman Catholic Church. They needed a front. And so they were the front against the Roman Catholic Church. Well, the end result of this reaction was something that's not so pure, but it is some progress, and that is the raising up of state churches. It went from the world to the states. Next thing you know, there's what? There's a church in Germany. There's the Anglican church in Great Britain. There's in Denmark and Norway and Sweden. It's the church of the nation. And the reason that's so, that was liked by the leaders is because they didn't want to listen to the Pope. They wanted to be the one taking the lead. They want no one to listen. They don't want to listen. The leaders don't want to listen to anyone other than themselves, right? So today, Queen Elizabeth, who are those ones from England? Oh, Queen Elizabeth. She's over the monarchy, right? She's the head of the monarchy. But you know what? She's the head of what? The Anglican Church. Can you believe it? Queen Elizabeth is head of the church. Does that make sense? Is that scriptural? The problem is, justification by faith opened the way for the Lord to open the minds of people. And actually, the truth began to get out. And at the same time, this is marvelous, at the same time, the printing press was invented. Wow! You know, in the year 2000, they had the great 10 greatest events in the last millennium. What was number one? The printing press. Exactly right, Michael. The printing press was number one on the list in the magazines. That's the greatest thing that happened in the last 1,000 years. Hallelujah! Well, what began being published? The Bibles. Hallelujah! And some of the truths that people began to see from the Bible were published. The printing press. Not only that, there was the discovery of the Americas at the same time. So the whole world is changing rapidly. Do you see the situation? And man's mind has been bound by Catholicism. There's no Bible. There's no light. You know, in Psalm 119 it says, the entrance of your word, what? Gives light. The Bible was bound, so there was no light. So what do you call those 1,000 years? It's the Dark Ages. There was nothing new going on the earth. It was dark. There's nothing, nothing new happening. But when the Bible got released, men's minds was released. Their mentality was released. They begin to see things. New inventions even came out. Of course, there's the printing press. And then there's the Americas, where some who feared God and loved God and they loved the Bible and they wanted to speak freely for Him, they moved to America. Of course, they're not the only ones, but there were a number of the leaders that came to America. This spot was preserved. The Americas was preserved for the Lord's move on the earth. And here we are. Where are we? Are we in America? I can't remember. I've been in so many places lately. Hallelujah. I'm in America. Anyway, this spot was preserved by the Lord for His recovery. Now then, we can't be distracted with history though. We don't want to be distracted with just mere history. We really want to see what's going on. What is the Lord doing? What is Sardis? What is this? Well, we know it prefigures the Protestant church. Why is it called the Protestant? What does it sound like to you? Protest. You ever thought about that? The Protestant church is the Protestant church. They're protesting against everything before. Well, and even you, Maybe we could just come to the outline. Let's do that and let's read Roman number 1, could we? As a sign, the church in Sardis prefigures the Protestant church from the time of the Reformation in the beginning of the 16th century to the second coming of Christ. So we saw that the Roman Catholic Church will be here till the Lord comes back, and the Protestant Church will be here until the Lord comes back. And then A, it says the Greek word for Sardis means remains, the remainder, or the restoration. Hence, it's a restoration by the remainder. Then let's all read B. The Reformation was God's reaction to the apostate Roman Catholic Church, signified by the church in Thyatira. So what was the Reformation? It's a reaction. Hallelujah. Is there something in us to react? We want to react against everything that's not Christ. Anyway, we're one with God in His reaction. And then C, all together. Amen. One, I'll just read this. God, through the Holy Spirit, moved in a prevailing way to produce many faithful servants who sacrificed their lives for the Lord as a seal to the word of their testimony. And in 2 Timothy, you have one of the verses, there's those who died with Him, they live with Him. And if we endure, we'll reign with Him. So there are many that did this. In fact... I hope I get back to it in a minute. Okay, go ahead. Sisters A. Hallelujah. Martin Luther did what? He opened the Bible to the public. Then B, what else? What's the second great thing? Amen. You have Romans 1:7, 17. There's another verse you should write down. Romans 3:28. A man is justified by faith, apart from the works of law. It's not works. Can you believe they were giving indulgences? If you had a lot of money, they would require higher prices for you to give to be forgiven of your sins. If your sins were great, the price was higher. And if you were wealthier, the price was higher. They had a whole system. If you were poor, the price was small. If your sins were small, still it was smaller. Anyway, they had indulgences. It was works. That's how you got saved. That was your only hope. Doing things. Giving money to the Catholic Church. Praise the Lord for faith. How many of us could afford those? For all our sins, Lord Jesus. Okay, there's another verse I like, Romans 5:11. Having been justified out of faith, we have peace toward God. We have peace. I think Martin Luther really experienced astounding peace when he realized, I'm justified by faith. It's not works. Wow. But you know what? Well, we'll get to it later. I keep coming back to it. Okay. Two. While Luther was struggling for the Reformation, many political powers who were critical of the Roman Catholic Church tried to take advantage of the Reformation and achieve their own political goals. In the end, the Reformation became a united front of the Church and the world against Roman Catholicism, and state churches were formed. Okay, we talked about that. And, one thing that happened, you may not realize it, but the state churches were formed, and they were legal and formal. And there were some, brothers and sisters, you may not realize it, but in the Catholic Church, there were some still in the Catholic Church that the Lord used to recover the knowledge of the inner life. There were the mystics. These were ones who were in the Catholic Church. Ones like Madame Guyon, Father Fenelon, Brother Lawrence. I don't know if you've read some of their stuff, but they were there and they had some real experiences of the Lord in an inward subjective way that was very rich. And this became a supply to others later on. Andrew Murray picked up on this. And others picked up from Andrew Murray in his writings the benefit of the inner life among these mystics within the Roman Catholic Church. So that's why we can't say, okay, there are no overcomers there. Listen, there are overcomers. Amen. Amen. So now, what about the Protestant church? You've got the state churches formed. Then, the Lord comes. Let's get to the verse, the verses here. And we see that, I especially, saints, I hope you really appreciate how the Lord presents Himself. You know, He gives us warnings. There's lessons. You know, this is what Craig mentioned. To all the churches, there's a warning. There's a lesson for all of us. And this will keep us from degradation. And what really helps here is to see that the Lord presents Himself in a particular way to every church. Right? A particular way. And especially to this church, He presents Himself in a particular way. Do you remember what it is? Yes, Alexander. Hallelujah. He, these things says He. He who what? He has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. And then He says, I know. The first thing that we need to experience, saints, we need to realize He presents Himself as the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. What does this signify? This is some aspects of Christ for our experience. And when we experience Christ in this way, you know what this will do? This will expose us of our real condition. Even the Lord says, I have the spirits, the seven spirits of God, and I hold the seven stars. And listen, I know. When we experience Him as the seven spirits of God, what happens? You know what it does? It makes us intensely living.
Amen.
Makes us what?
Intensely living.
The seven spirits of God is just Christ as the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
Sevenfold intensified.
Amen.
To make us what? Intensely living.
Amen.
Oh, I love this word. I hope we all have to declare intensely living. Point to your neighbor and say, intensely living.
Intensely living.
The Lord is experiential as the seven spirits of God.
Amen.
To make us what?
Intensely living.
Again to your neighbor, intensely living.
Intensely living.
He wants us to experience Him to the extent that we are what? Intensely living.
Amen.
This is big. This is big. Not only that, He has the seven stars. What is that? He wants us to experience intensely shining.
Yeah.
Tell your neighbor, intensely shining.
Intensely shining.
Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. He has the seven stars.
Amen.
For what? To make us intensely shining. Let's all say that. Living.
Living.
Shining.
Shining.
Again, living.
Living.
Shining. Tell your neighbor.
Living.
Amen.
Shining.
Amen. This is big. This is big. Because what follows is what? The Lord lets them know, I know. I know your works. Right? And then the most striking thing here is, you have a name that you are living, and yet you are dead. Isn't that serious? You have a name that you're living, and yet you are what? Do you like to hear that? What if the Lord told you that, Eric? Eric, I know your works. You're really busy on the campus. You have a name that you're living, but you're really dead. Whoa, that's shocking. What if the Lord told all of you right here? You have a name that you're living. Oh, in Britain, you're living, right? But you're really dead. Shocking. Well, we have to let the Lord touch us. Tonight, I hope the Lord would touch us. We would experience Him as the seven spirits of God. We'd experience Him as the seven stars that He could shine on each one of us. Listen, in the meetings, you know what I saw? I saw a lot of livingness. And I saw a lot of young people shining. Right? Praise the Lord. Nathan over there, he was living. And he was shining. Look at him, he's still shining. Stand up and shine for us, Nathan.
Hallelujah!
Yeah. Amen. I just looked around. Everybody's living. They're touching the Lord. And what's happening? They're shining. And it's so easy with all the saints. But we have to ask, you know, what about when we're walking across the campus? Or what if we're, you know, we have a break and we're at home and we get out something to play with, you know? Games or whatever. Are we extremely living? Are we intensely living? What's shining? You know, what's being expressed? I don't know. The Lord has to move in to our daily living. This is really crucial, saints. Our living depends how we live in the next age. We'll see this later. Our living is important. It's not a small thing. So we need the seven spirits of God. We need the seven stars to make us living, to make us shining every day of the week. How about that? Every day. Tell your neighbor, every day.
Every day.
Amen. Cephas, every day, brother. Amen. This is what we need to be living, to be shining. With the saints, it's so wonderful. We have the help of one another. We touch the life-giving Spirit, and He's what? He's strengthening. He's life-giving. And saints, for the Lord to say, to tell us we have a name that we're living and we're dead, that's so big. That's serious. He's speaking there to the Sardis, which signifies the Protestant church. And you just think about the whole Protestant church has been going on from those days in the 1500s till now. Right? Have you been there? Do you know what it's like? Listen, it's not a living situation. It's a sad situation. But I hate to tell you, sometimes we're there. We're in the condition of Sardis. So we have to take this to all of... We have to let the Lord speak to us in all these situations, right? Are we in Ephesus? No, Ephesus is over. But there's a word for us. What is it? We need to love the Lord with our best love, our first love. We need to love the Word, the Bible. We need to be reading the Bible to get saved from the world.
Amen.
Well, this evening I want to say, we need to be living.
Amen.
Living.
Amen.
And the reason we need to be living is because He's living. You know, at the beginning of Revelation, in chapter 1, do you remember in verse 17, I think? 17 or 18. This is when John saw him. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He placed his right hand on me, saying, "Do not fear, I'm the first and the last." Just remember that. I'm the first and the what? The last. Then what does he say? And the living one. I'm the first, the last, and I am the what? Living one. I'm the living one. Saints, Christ is what? The living one. There's no one as living as him. He is the living one. He has nothing to do with death. Even he continues, "And behold, I'm the living. I am living." No, he says, "I'm the living one. And I became dead. And behold, I'm living." I'm getting lost here. "And I am living forever and ever." Praise the Lord. I was dead, but now what am I? I'm living forever and ever. Listen, he walked in, he walked out of death. He is living forever and ever. He is the living one. So, what does he need from us? I think we all saw from Craig sharing, it's not about just human history. What we want to see is the Lord wants what? The testimony of Jesus. Amen? What do we want to be? the testimony of Jesus. Wherever we are, we want the Lord to get the testimony of Jesus. We want Him testified on the earth. We want Him seen and shining out of us for His testimony on the earth. He needs this. He loves to be shining. He loves to be expressed wherever you are. And He's the living one. He doesn't have anything to do with death. So He has a problem with Sardis. You have a name that you're living, and you are what? Dead. Dead. Dead, dead, dead. Okay, let me read. Let's go to Roman numeral 2. Can we all read that? We haven't read that yet, right? All together. The Lord speaks as the one who has the seven spirits of God. Brothers, A.
You are living,
yet you are dead. You have a few names in Sardis who have not defiled their garments. Here you have this matter, who have not defiled their garments. What defiles our garments? Exactly. Here, it's death. And of course, death is what? It's the wages of sin. The wages of sin is what? Death. Death defiles our garments. Death in our living. Death in our walk. Death in our behavior. Death in our living. Listen, it defiles us. And our walk is affected. It affects our garments. Our garments are related to our behavior. It's related to our righteousness. What we are in our deeds, in our doings. This is crucial. Do you like death in your living? No, none of us do. Well, Sardis, he says they have a name, they're living, they're dead. What's wrong? You've defiled your garments. But there are some who have not, of course. Okay, sisters, one. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. We don't want to fall into something just fundamental and scriptural and still be dead. This is to fall into religion. And you know in John 5, you have the verses there. You remember the Lord, He talked to the Pharisees. He says, you search the Scriptures, for in them, you know, you think you have eternal life. And they testify concerning Me, but you won't come to Me that you might what? Have life. The Scriptures can be, they can keep us from the Lord. So this is what happened in Sardis. This is what happened in the Protestant churches. They came out to a certain extent. They saw something. And they formed the state churches. And then there's some other things, and we'll get into it, that also came out of that. But there's this element of death. Death. No one likes to talk about death. I hate dead things. Do you like dead things? No. And the reason this is so big is because, saints, Christ is life.
Amen.
You just look at the whole Bible. Listen, saints, when I first came to church life, this blew me away. I grew up in the denominations. I grew up actually in the Brethren Assemblies. That's what I grew up in. These were descendants of these brethren, the brethren that had been around for so many years that had divided and divided. We'll get into that tomorrow. And here we are. I'm growing up in a situation. A lot of teaching. A lot of good teaching. Actually, some of the best teaching. Most of the fundamental teachings were picked up from the brethren. And so I'm there in a very scriptural place. But it's absolutely dead. Dead. And dying. And this is not good. This was not good. So when I got out of there, actually when I went to college, I'm out. Now what do I do? Well, I did my own thing for a while, but then the Lord laid hold of me and brought me back to Himself.
Amen.
And I had a turn. Praise the Lord, I had a turn.
Amen.
Turn to the Lord.
Amen.
And then I begin to seek Him. Where are you? Well, this is astounding. It's kind of interesting. You know where I was? I went to different places. I went to the Baptist church. I went there. I stayed there to find out what's going on. My grandparents were Baptists. And then I went to another place and another place. And then we were in the coffee houses back then. You know, it was the hippie era, and it was just lounging around on pillows in coffee houses and saying, "We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord." Or singing, "I am the resurrection and the life." Not bad, huh? Anyway, we just didn't know what to do. Then I found a place called, this sounds good, Abundant Life Full Gospel Church. Wow, isn't that a good place to go? Abundant life, full gospel. Well, you know what that means. The full gospel meant, from their standpoint, most of the gospel that everyone's preaching is short. If you just receive the Lord, that's not enough. You've got to receive the second blessing, which is the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and with the evidence of speaking in tongues. So that's the full gospel. And your life is not full until you need to receive the Lord, get saved, but you also need this second blessing. Your life is short. And listen, most of the Christians, their life is short. They're looking for something. So this is a real counterfeit in a sense, a substitute, I would say. And so I went there and, you know, there was some help there. You know why? Because they had a little bit of life. You know why? Their mouth was open. Hallelujah. Amen. In the brethren, my mouth was never open. You didn't even say amen out loud. There was one old man in our assembly who used to say amen. And we all just thought, ooh, as kids we'd laugh at that old man saying amen. We thought he was so strange. He was the only one doing it. You don't even say amen. Just mouth is shut. And so, anyway, where was I? I was... Huh? Oh, yeah, I got a little life. My mouth was open. And actually, I got my hands up. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Begin to praise the Lord some. That was a big help to me. To get my mouth open, to praise the Lord, to call on the Lord's name, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Not bad, huh? Well, eventually, the time came, time for me to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I was at a big, big gathering, and I decided I better try it. My life is a little bit short, so they got me up there. And brother, stand up. Here's what it was like. You want to see what it's like? Some of you don't know. Stand up. Yeah, all four of you. Come on around and circle around me. And everybody's looking on and they're all speaking in tongues now. And these ones come and they put their hands all over me. In my head. And they're saying, they're telling me, praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God. Okay, praise God. Praise God. And then they keep on telling me. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then they start saying, not in English.
Not in English.
What do you mean not in English? I didn't say that, but I just, Lord Jesus, Jesus. Then they kept saying, not in English, not in English.
Not in English.
And then they started speaking in tongues. And he's saying, in English, not in English, not in English.
Not in English.
Y'all keep talking.
Not in English, not in English.
Oh, Lord. And then, everybody went, yay! I just copied them. And, okay, that's good, brothers. That was my experience of the Holy Ghost. It was scary, that's right. And... Come on, some of you have seen this before, right? Raise your hand if you've seen something like this before. See, Dave Wilson knows. Nathan, you guys, you know. This is our experience. Well, after that, I kept repeating what they did. My mouth was open, hallelujah. And I thought I was having some experiences of the Lord. I believe that. But you know what? I remember being in a revival, the same place, and I'm sitting there and I'm just thinking, because I'd been doing this for a while and I was loving the Lord and I was loving the Bible and I was loving the believers. But I was there doing this and I was seeking. I want to know, Lord, where are you? And I sat there and I just remember just sitting there and just thinking, Lord, there's got to be something more. Lord, there has to be something more. Where is it? What is it, Lord? You know, I thought I'd passed through everything. Well, shortly after that, that's when a brother shared Christ with me.
Amen.
He opened his mouth on the campus and gave me Christ.
Amen.
For about 1 minute. That's all. And my life was changed.
Amen.
I came to a meeting and then I began to hear about what? I began to hear about life.
Amen.
Life. It's the real abundant life.
Amen.
I had no idea He came that we might have life. I didn't know about the tree of life. Wow, the tree of life in the beginning. God's intention was to be life to man. I never knew that. Why didn't they tell me that instead of just talking gibberish? Hallelujah for the tree of life.
Amen.
He came that we might have life.
Amen.
That we might have it what? Abundantly.
Amen.
Then He became, and then He speaks again and again, I'm the bread of what? Life. I'm the water of life. Oh, I'm come that you might have what? Life. How much?
Abundantly.
He's life.
Amen.
This made me crazy.
Amen.
I couldn't help it, Lord. I give my life to you.
Amen.
I want to be full of life.
Amen.
And what's so awesome is to see the full picture, to realize that this wonderful one, He died and resurrected and became the what?
Life-giving.
Yeah. The what kind of spirit?
Life-giving.
Amen. Sometimes we just skip over that. But what does He give?
Life.
Life-giving.
Amen.
This one now is living in us. So now what? Our spirit is life.
Amen.
Our mind on our spirit is what? Wow. And then what? He'll give life to our mortal bodies through His Spirit who indwells us.
Amen.
Wow. Talk about life. He's going to swallow us up in life. He's the Spirit of life. There's a law of the Spirit of life in us operating to save us from the law of sin and death. Wow. This life will grow in us, transform us, make us the same as He is in life and nature. Not in the Godhead, but He will swallow up all the death. Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that a great expectation?
Amen.
That death will be swallowed up by life.
Amen.
He's the life giver.
Amen.
And He hates death.
Amen.
The reason He hates death, it has nothing to do with Him.
Amen.
He's the living one.
Amen.
He hates death.
Amen.
Death defiles us.
Amen.
He's the life-giving Spirit. He wants to swallow up our whole being in what? Life. The eternal life. The uncreated life of God. Wow. This is what's happening with every one of us. This is our destiny, to be a people of what? Life. Wow. The Lord has to touch us. Lord, I don't want to be Sardis. I don't want a name that I'm living. I want to be living. Let's all tell the Lord that. Lord, I want to be living.
To be living.
Lord, you came as life for this. And you know, the other thing that I was just so impressed as a young person, your age, I came to the church life when I was 21. And that is that as the Lord grows in us, that growth is building. That building is for the building up of His body. That is the church. This is His bride. This will bring Him back. What else can I give my life to? He says, what else can we give our lives to? And the other thing we have to keep in mind as we're going through all these churches, what is the Lord doing? He's calling for what? Overcomers. Overcomers. To overcome the degradation, the situation. In Sardis, it was dead. It was dead. And it was not just dead. There's a little phrase. It was dying. It was about to die. So on one hand it was dead, and on the other hand it was weak. Brother Lee talked about how weakness is a sign of death. Weakness leads to death. Saints, we have to fight against death. Did you get that? In the church life and in our lives, what do we need to do? Fight against death. We need to fight for life. We need to be those that want life in our living and in every gathering that we come together with the saints. If you come to pray with another brother, another sister, what do you want in that time?
Life.
What I want you is life. I want you to be the life giver right now. If you're with brothers praying, life. When you get to the meeting, the singing, what do you want the singing to be full of?
Life.
The prayer, what do you want the prayer to be full of?
Life.
The declarations, full of life. The sharing, the ones sharing, you want them to be full of what?
Life.
What do you want to receive?
Life.
The new ones that you bring to the gathering, you want them to get life. You care for people that they would what? Receive
life.
And I want to say, you're all sufficient as ministers. 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, you're sufficient as ministers. Not of the old covenant, but of the new covenant. For the old covenant is what? It's the letter. And the letter kills. But the Spirit gives
life.
So He says, you're able ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but what? Of the Spirit. What do you minister to one another? Yes, you want to minister life. You want to minister the Spirit. In all our living, in all our doing. Listen, Sardis was dead and dying. Do you want to be Sardis?
No.
If we're not living, we're just back in Sardis. We have to be those that are living.
Amen.
Alive.
Amen.
And giving life to one another.
Amen.
Caring for life in every situation. When we're with our spouses, we care for life. We don't care for right and wrong. When you're with the ones you live with, is it really right or is it wrong? Get out of that realm. So what, they're wrong? It's better to be in life. That was a big thing to see when I first came to the church life. It's not a matter of right and wrong. It's a matter of what?
Life.
People live by those two trees. Which one do you want to live by? You want to live by the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Right and wrong? Yeah, but what if Eric's wrong? What if he's really wrong, though, and you're right? He's really wrong, though. Saints, it happens all the time. We find ourselves in that realm. This is right, that's wrong. She did this, she did that. She shouldn't have done that, she shouldn't have done that. Why didn't she invite me? Why this? Why? She is wrong. Everybody's wrong. Listen, if you got to watch out. If that's your church life with the brothers and sisters when you're single, wait till you're married. You can't. It doesn't work. You can't tell them you're wrong. It's all over. That's why they all divide. They all live in right and wrong. They can't get it straight, so they divorce. We have the solution. What is it?
Life.
Praise the Lord for the tree of life. We live in life. Let the person be wrong. I just want to stay in life. Be wrong. I forgive you for being wrong. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
This is real. This is the way life is. This is the way life should be. Life has to be everything to us. You know, one thing that Brother Lee talked about, he said, in the meeting, sometimes we talk, we don't want to speak. Why do you not want to speak in the meetings? Huh?
You don't want to say anything wrong.
You don't want to say anything wrong. Exactly. Not to mention that it's the scariest thing for a person in America. People are more afraid of speaking in public than they are death. That's what the polls showed. Did y'all know that? People are more afraid of speaking in public than dying. It's their greatest fear, speaking in public. That was the polls that came out with. For some reason, death wasn't number one. It's speaking in public. So man, can you imagine that the Lord would get a generation of young people speaking for Christ?
Amen.
Publicly?
Amen.
Wow, that's awesome. What a shame to the enemy. Well, you know, like Charles said, the reason you don't want to speak, you don't want to speak something wrong. Tim, don't you like to speak? You're going to speak tomorrow, right? Or the next day? We'll all be watching. We're all going to be critiquing, criticizing. Are you ready for that? No, we're not going to be doing that. We just want to, receive life. Amen. He's going to stand up and he's going to practice giving life. Amen. Speak his experience of Christ. Well, it's better to be livingly wrong than dead right. You can be right. Okay, you can sit there in the meeting and you're right. You're not wrong. But you may be dead. To not speak leaves you in deadness. Sometimes the Lord prompts you to say something, to pray or to sing or speak or call a song, or and you say nothing. You don't want to be wrong. Oh, I want to call this hymn. It might be wrong. Or I'm not sure if I can say it right. I better not speak. So you're right. You better be careful. Sit down. Don't get up. Well, you're dead right. It's better that everybody's livingly wrong than dead right. It's better that everybody's, you know, Tim, why don't you stand up and say something about the Lord that you love?
I love the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, see, now sit down. First of all, he hesitated a little bit. Oh, that was wrong. You should have just blasted off, right? Somebody else, that's too short. That's wrong. Anyway, these are the things you can think about when you sit down. You know, saints, don't worry about being wrong. Worry about, am I living?
Amen.
Lord, I want to be living.
Amen.
Listen, it's not to be living, it's not a performance. You know, even prophesying, speaking for the Lord, it's not a performance. It's being full of what? Life. Okay, let me go through the outline a little bit further here. Let's see. Okay, is it three? Yeah, let's all read three. There's no developing of the saints' gifts in life, but there is an annulling, a killing of death, of the functioning of the members of Christ's body. And of course, you see this with the raising up, with the reaction of Protestantism, and you see it all the way to today. What you see is still this aspect of the clergy-laity system, right? The clergy-laity system is prevailing. And therefore, what do you have? You have one speaker speaking, and all the rest are laying. You know, the clergy, laity. You're laying around, and once the clergy's doing most of the work. Well, this annuls the functioning of the members. And this has been going on for centuries, you guys. And it's only, can you believe, it's in my lifetime that the Lord has brought this into the recovery to bring us back to what? Prophesying for the building up of the church. 1 Corinthians 14 is big. Do y'all realize that? 1 Corinthians 14 is big.
Amen.
All can prophesy. Excel to the building up of the church. Seek that you may excel to this. What are you seeking? You may be seeking a lot of other things. But what?
Life.
You're seeking life. Okay, well, stand up and give us life, Angel.
Life!
Amen. Amen. Whoa, life! Amen. Give us life. So, the Nicolaitans, the teaching of Balaam, listen, it's still infiltrated the Protestant churches. You go there, everything's there done for you. You know, part of what you have to remember when I came out of when I went to college, I kind of got off into the hippie things and the music. And so when I began seeking the Lord, I thought, okay, well, I went to a Jesus Rock concerts. And, of course, now that's prevalent. You know, the Jesus Rock, that's how you have your worship service. But to me, when I went there, I just realized there's no life. No life. I don't even understand the words, much less. How can I get life? It's like speaking in tongues. They talk and talk and talk. And the music and I didn't get life. There was no life. And eventually I realized it's not here. There's no life here. You know. The world likes to promote the natural man. But what we are promoting, we're promoting everyone functioning by life. We're not here for performance. Again, we want everyone to be enjoying life so that life would flow out to the other members of the body. For what? For the building up of the body. Okay. Let's all read A together. Could we? Today's practice of one man speaking and the rest listening makes the church not only dormant, but also dead and dying. Then B should be living members of Christ, seeking to speak for the Lord and speak forth the Lord, the church meetings, for the building up of the church. Amen. In a living way. Saints, I think in the morning session there's a session on prophesying, so I don't need to get into this. But I do want to just stress one thing, and that is that if you care for Christ, if you care for what's on His heart, why wouldn't you prophesy? It needs to be something in our heart. He loves the church. He gave Himself up for the church. He died for the church. And he said He'll build up the church. But He doesn't do it directly, does He? He does it through you. You. He does it through you. And He's waiting for this. He's longing for this. When I came in the church life, this is like, for me, when I first heard about prophesying, you know what? I gave myself. Lord, I want to prophesy. To me, it wasn't so much prophesy as much as I want to speak for you. I want to speak you forth. I want to give you to others. Lord, until you come back, I want to ever stop prophesying, speaking for you. This should be our life. It needs to be our living, right? We would always do this. You can seek to excel at other things, but, you know, I used to seek a lot of other things. I wanted to, you know, dunk a basketball. I told you all about that before. I wanted to dunk. I dreamed about it, you know, this way and that way. I could still feel myself flying through the air and just, you know, some kind of special move. I sought to dunk, you know. And I, believe it or not, I got to the point where I could do it. Nobody believes that one. I practiced. I sought to excel at this, to get to the point where I could jump. Now the knees don't work anymore, but believe it or not, I could jump. I could really jump. I scared people. Because you know what I liked more than just dunking? Eventually, I liked blocking shots because it surprised everybody. They'd get shocked and then they'd come and try it again and I'd do it again. And then they were all humbled and they were scared of me. I like that. Anyway, terrible, terrible. Anyway, what was my point? My point is, seek that you may excel to what? Building up the church. Build up the church. Go for this one. Go for the gold. This is the best thing you can give yourself to. Okay, then C, altogether. We should be living and active in gospel preaching, in nourishing the new ones, in perfecting the saints, and in prophesying to build up the body of Christ. I don't have time to get into all the verses, but you can see them here. But I hope all of us are experiencing a vital church life. A life where you're enjoying the gospel, nourishing others, perfecting others, and building up the church by prophesying. This is the God-ordained way. You know what vital people do? Just catch this. You know, some of you will go to the full-time training and you'll be in the God-ordained way class. And that you'll see me there. And I'll be talking about prophesying again. But also related to the vital groups. Here's one thing I like. What is it to be vital? It's to be what? Living and active. What is a vital group? Two or three of you. What do you do? What does a vital group do? Does what? It takes care of the four items of the God-ordained way. You know what a vital group does? It's together in vitality, in prayer, in coordination. They what? They preach the gospel. Number one. Number two, they nourish the new ones. Cherish and nourish them. Number three, They perfect the new ones in the group meetings. And then lastly, what? They prophesy. They help others to prophesy for what? The building up of the church. This is the God-ordained way. This is what the vital groups do. Do you know what the vital groups are? Oh. Huh? I'll say it because you need to hear it again and again. A vital group has three characteristics. Three characteristics. It's like three legs of a stool. Many of you have heard this, but I just want to repeat it. A vital group has, number one, it has a nature. And the nature is spiritual. It's something of, what's the word? Life. Life. This is in the footnote, John 15:17. There's a footnote there. Okay, so the first aspect of a vital group, it's nature. It has a nature. It's life. When you get together, is it just because you're soulmates? Is that a vital group? Well, we know each other. We both play basketball. We're this or that. No. The nature of your vital group is what? Life. Then number two, it has a condition. The condition is love. Amen. Let's all say that. Love. So the first, the nature is what? Life. The condition is love. So isn't that sweet? You're together with your partners. You're full of life. You're full of love for one another. And then number three, the vital groups have a goal. They have a nature, a condition, and a goal. You know what the goal is? Fruit bearing. Number one, Cephas. Yes, brother. Fruit bearing. This is the goal of the vital groups. It's not enough to have two brothers or two sisters there and they love each other and they're in life together. What is their goal? Lord, multiply. Multiply this life. We want this life to multiply, reproduce. We want you to live again in somebody else. See, those are the three characteristics of a vital group. Anyway, you'll get that later. Maybe you're already covering that in the classes in the morning. I'm not sure. Okay, let's go on to the next point. Altogether, four. Dead Protestantism needs the living spirits and the shining stars, which we talked about. B, I have found none of your works completed before my God. So this is what the Lord told Sardis. None of your works are completed. They started something. They came out of the Catholic Church. They saw something of justification by faith. The Bible was open. And actually, some of the brethren, there were some brethren groups that began to meet, and they began to see some things in the Word. But it's not completed. They didn't go all the way back to the beginning, as you see in Acts 2. Today, oh, saints, it's just sad. You talk to some Christians that think they think they're really spiritual, and they know something, and they have no clue concerning so many precious things concerning Christ. We need to care, and we need to share with others the riches of this ministry. You know, they're missing Paul's completing ministry. They don't see what he completed. They're still there at justification by faith. They see justification by faith, but they don't see Romans 5:10, which says, much more you will be what? Saved in his life. It's right there, but they don't see it. And actually, you know, what's crazy is even the state churches, once the Bible got open, they didn't go back and look in the Bible to say, well, how should we meet? What is the church? What does the church look like? What is its nature? What is its function? They just went on their own way. They didn't even look to see what does the Bible say about state churches, you know, versus a universal Roman Catholic church. They didn't complete what the Lord started. One, nothing begun in the Reformation has ever been completed. Therefore, the church in Philadelphia is needed for the completion. Amen. Two, the Reformation did not bring the church back to the condition of the beginning. It only caused the world church to become state churches. And then here's the next big point. Three, let's read that all together. Among the Protestant churches, Aside from those established according to states, there are also churches set up according to different opinions and doctrines. So this is where you have the Baptist. They saw something of baptism by immersion. It's very scriptural. They formed the church around that. The boundary of their church is what? Baptism. Then you have the Presbyterian. They saw something of the Presbytery. You have the Methodist and so forth. There are different ones that saw different things. And they split off into all these little groups, having no view of what the church is. So they just disregarded the matter of the church. Even some, they met in homes, and Brother Lee said he ran across some. They met in homes. They didn't want to have anything to do with organizations. Well, that sounds good. But you know what? They didn't want to have anything to do with church. They just wanted to be nothing. And so, to them, they didn't attach themselves to anyone. So there was no way for the Lord to build up the church. They just met in home, read their Bible, and prayed. Well, the Lord will never get the church in this way. So, and you saw what happened. It was already happening in 1 Corinthians when Paul wrote the letter to the Corinthians, where one of them said, I'm of Paul. In other words, I'm of Cephas. In other words, well, I'm of Apollos. In other words, well, I'm of Christ. Well, they were all getting divided over different names, different people. This is fleshy. This was so low. The Lord even called it in Corinthians. He called it fleshly. It's fleshy to divide yourself from one another. But this has just gone on. Division after division. Division after division. One on one corner, one on the other. And on one hand you think, well, how can this many people be wrong? Listen, it's not up to us to say. I mean, the Lord is the one who says, I know your works. You have a name, you're living, and you're dead. You get into the situation, you find out it's really not living. It's not of life. And actually, especially if you have the annulling of the members, then what? It's just death. You know, if all the members of his body quit functioning, what happens to Alexander? Does God have an expression through Alexander? What can you do? Come on, you need to do something for the Lord.
Praise the Lord!
Oh, you used your arm. You can't do that. See?
Praise the Lord!
That's about all he can do. But, no, you used your mouth. You can't do that. See, the members of the body, when they're annulled, when they don't function, they become useless. I think I told you guys, some of you heard it. When I was young, I had my appendix taken out. I had appendicitis, had my appendix taken out. And I was in the hospital. Back then, you were in the hospital for a whole week just for appendicitis. Crazy. And so after a week, I didn't get up and practice walking. So they got me up, you know, to get me into a wheelchair. I couldn't even get into the wheelchair. I fell down. I couldn't. My legs wouldn't even hold me. Because I wasn't walking. My legs were, their function was annulled because of disuse. They weren't used. This is the way the Lord's body is to Him. If the members are not functioning, if they don't have life flowing through them, how can the Lord be expressed through the body on the earth? He needs the body. But He needs life to flow in all the members. So that's the problem. They're dead and there's no life and there's not the flowing of life. There is a name only, Abundant Life, Full Gospel Church, Abundant Life. There's other ones that are really attractive, you know, Fountain of Life, or, you know, all kinds of good things. But listen, it's just part of this, of Sardis. So you have churches now set up according to different opinions and doctrines. So you have the world church, you have state churches, and you have churches according to different doctrines and opinions. Okay, three altogether. In Sardis, the Lord's call and promise is made to those who overcome the deadness of the Protestant churches. So there's a call and there's a promise to those who overcome. A, altogether, I will come as a thief, and you shall by no means know at what hour I will come upon you. Those who overcome will not miss the Lord in His coming secretly as a thief to steal the precious things at an unknown time. So in Matthew 24, He also mentions this matter of coming as a thief. We can't take this lightly. The Lord's going to, you know, we think He's going to come at some great time. I mean, He will. He'll come from the clouds and every eye will see Him. But He's also coming as a thief. He's coming to steal the precious things. And I hope we all would take note of this. Lord, make me a precious one. Make me precious to You. May I be full of life, full of the Spirit. Lord, full of You, Lord. But I want to be precious to You. And so that's what He says. If you don't repent, what's going to happen? I'll come and you won't even know it. I'll just slip on by as a thief in the night. I'll steal away others, but you'll still be here. This little portion is very sober because it indicates and shows to us that there is an incentive for the Christian life. There's an incentive, saints. Get that little word, incentive. The Lord has placed an incentive before us. There's a reward to those who run properly. Okay, let's go on. B. They, all together, they will walk with Me in white because they are worthy. See, worthy. Then one, white garments signify the walk and living which are unspotted by death and which will be approved by the Lord. Two, what the overcomers have been walking in during this age will be a prize to them in the coming age. Three, every Christian needs two garments. The first is the garment of justification for our salvation, Christ as our objective righteousness. And the second is the garment of approvingness for our acceptance, signifying Christ as our subjective righteousness. So in this portion, this is so sweet. It's not like the Lord wants to scare us. To me, it's kind of a normal situation where you just think about it. Most of you are working on degrees. And once you get your degree, why are you working hard to get that degree? You have an incentive. What is it? Yeah. It qualifies you for certain jobs. You know, some, they don't care even what the degree is. Just that you got your degree tells them you're teachable. And then they teach you more. But the main thing is you're going after something because there's an incentive. I want to be able to take care of my family. I want to take care of the church life. I want to take care of my life. It's a human responsibility. I need to do something. Man has to work. So you get a degree to get a good job to take care of your family. Now, that's a normal thought. And of course, we can take it to extremes. But you have to realize, listen, the Lord is still in control. You may get a degree and you may never use it. So often many, they get a degree and they go into some other area. Now, one brother, he got this great degree. He never touched it. He moved into another area. The Lord led him into that. Next thing you know, he was making a lot of money. And you know what? The money he gave to the church. He never used his degree. Not even one time. Not a bit. It's amazing. Others, you may get your degree and you give it up to serve the Lord. The Lord, there's those that did that, right? Others, they get their degree and you know what? They get a job. They take care of their family. They take care of the church life. Wonderful. Right? That's wonderful. They function as a living member in the body. They have families and they care for a vital group living, for the fruit bearing, for the Lord to build up the body of Christ. Wonderful. Some, they get their degrees and then they forget about the Lord. They leave the Lord. They get into their job and they forget about everything else. Listen, we need to have an incentive. And our incentive is a reward. And that is to walk with Him. It's to reign with Him in the next age. Don't think this is fairy tale. This is not fairy tale. When I came into church life, I saw this from the very beginning. I realized, wow, I cannot live the way I want. I'm for Christ and the church. I belong to Him. I give my life to Him. Lord, I want You to grow in me. Fill me with Yourself. Make me a functioning member of the body. Build up Your church. Lord, come back. Everything is for this. Saints, and being in the church life is just, it's no guarantee that you'll get the reward. Right? We need to be in the middle of the church life. I remember something Ron Kanga said one time. He said, if you're in the outer skirts of the church life, if you're in the outer skirts of the church life, you'll probably be in the outer darkness in the next age. You know, if you're in the outer part now, you'll be in the outer part in the next age. You want to be an overcomer?
Amen.
We all want to be the overcomers, right?
Amen.
We have to love life.
Amen.
Hate death. Amen. Be filled with life.
Amen.
Fight for life again and again. And be a living, functioning member of the body. And really look for the goal. Lord, I'm aiming at the goal. I want to reign with you. I want to be with you in the next age. I don't want to defile my garment. We need to keep our garment bright and shining. You know, eventually in Revelation 19, it's a beautiful scene. You know what's there? There's the marriage of the Lamb has come. The bride has made herself ready. And there's this rejoicing. Rejoicing. Maybe I should read it. I just love this portion. I hope you're all familiar with it because you need to love it yourself. This is Revelation 19:7. Let us rejoice and exult and let us give the glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and His wife has made herself ready.
Amen.
So I'll say that, ready.
Ready.
Point to your neighbor and say, ready.
Ready.
Well, let's say, get ready.
Get ready.
Amen. And it was given to her that she should be clothed in fine linen. Let's all tell your neighbor, fine linen. Amen. For the fine linen is the righteousnesses of the saints.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now tell your neighbor, righteousnesses.
Righteousnesses.
The Lord wants to, this is the garment that we're preparing. It's a robe of righteousnesses. This is Him as our subjective righteousness lived out of us. It's Him living in us. Him being our reality. In our living. He's even the virtues that are expressed through our human virtues. Our love is His love. Our kindness is His kindness. Our deeds are His deeds. Our walking is His walking. This is the righteousnesses of the saints. It's caring for somebody. Giving to someone else. Taking care of someone when they're down and out. Listen, these are the righteousnesses of the saints. These are our garments. They're fine linen. I like that. Fine linen. And then you come down to verse 11 in chapter 19. It says this, and I saw, this is the bride. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And He who sits on it called Faithful and True. And in righteousness He judges and makes war. And His eyes are a flame of fire. And on His head are many diadems. And He has a name written which no one knows but Himself. And listen to this. And He is clothed with a garment dipped in blood. And His name is called the Word of God.
Amen.
So here you have to see it. There's a white horse. This one with a garment dipped in blood. He's heading to Armageddon. But there are some ones that have descended out of the heavens, the mighty ones with Him. And it's all the overcomers. It's overcomers!
Amen.
Don't you want to be an overcomer, David? Amen! Don't you, sister, do you want to be an overcomer?
Amen.
Yes, I can just see you all on the white horses.
Amen.
And they're following Him. And who are we following? But who is He? He's the Word of God. Oh, we're following the Word. We're after the Word.
Amen.
We love the Word.
Amen.
On one hand, we love the Lord.
Amen.
The other hand, we love the Word of God.
Amen.
This is the conclusion. This is Armageddon. He's the Word of God. We're one with Him as the Word of God. Then what? And the armies which are in heaven followed Him on what? White horses. Praise the Lord. I leave for the white horses. Amen. You going to be on the white horse, Eric?
Amen.
Michael?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Kenneth?
Amen.
Amen. White horses, brothers.
Amen.
Sisters, how about a horse? Brothers, can you see all the sisters on white horses?
Amen.
Let's be on the white horses.
Amen.
Dressed in what? Fine linen.
Amen.
It says, and the armies which are in heaven followed him in on white horses, dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And eventually it says, and he has on his garment, this is the Lord, and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is who we love. This is the one we follow. He's the Word of God. And tonight I would say he is our life. He's the life-giving Spirit. He wants to make us intensely living and intensely shining. Don't you believe that's going to be a marvelous day? I'm looking for that day. I don't know about you. Maybe it's because I'm old and I don't have anything else to look forward to. But I'm telling you, I want to be on the white horses.
Amen.
With all the other overcomers following the Lord.
Amen.
Dressed in fine linen.
Amen.
White and clean.
Amen.
This is the righteousness of the saints. It's Christ worked into us and lived out of us.
Amen.
And we're on horses following Him. We're saying, Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Smite the nations.
Amen.
Smite the evil ones.
Amen.
Your will be done on earth.
Amen.
Bring in your kingdom.
Amen.
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 Do it, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Oh, I'm way over time. Okay, let's finish reading. See? Okay, see, yeah. Yeah, we need a garment of approvingness. Oh, yeah, you got it. You can read it later. Okay, all together, see. I shall by no means erase his name out of the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father, before his angel. Isn't that awesome? Angel. Don't you want him to confess his name before the angels? Isn't that interesting? Here's angel. Amen. Isn't that sweet though that he will confess our name? You're not just a soul. You're not just a being. You're not just a person. To the Lord, you're a name. He'll confess your name.
Amen.
Alexander.
Amen.
Isn't that sweet that the Lord would, He would confess your name? But it's possible, as you see in these verses, He won't erase our name out. That means it's possible our name could be erased out for a period of time. Because there's three stages of blessing. There's the church age, there's the millennial age, and there's the eternal age. These three stages. And it's possible we could be in the church life, and if we don't live properly, our names will be erased for a time. It's like you get circled and your name is not called. Isn't that a sad thing? You know, if your name is Ball and it goes from A's and it's in alphabetical order, it goes from A and it skips to Brunwick. It's like, what happened to Ball? Your name, he didn't call your name. He didn't confess your name. It's circled. It's another file. It'll be brought in later in the eternal stage, the New Jerusalem. Anyway, I will by no means erase his name out of the book of life. Why? Because you're an overcomer. Hallelujah. I will confess his name. Okay, one and two all together. The book of life is a divine record of the names of those who partake of the blessings God has prepared for them. Those believers who do not mature in the church age will miss the divine blessings millennial kingdom, having their names erased from the book of life. However, after being disciplined by the Lord, these believers will share the divine blessings stage of eternity. And I just have to repeat, again, you remember Craig, the first message he talked about, we need to be brought back to Christ as our first love. Lord, we want to love you above everything else.
Amen.
The second message, what? The next night is a matter of, Lord, we need the Word of God.
Amen.
We need to be reading the Word, loving the Word, in the Word. This will save us from the degradation of the world. Tonight I would say we need to love life.
Amen.
We need to fight for life. We need to be filled with life. Oh, saturated with? I can't hear you. Saturated with what?
Life.
Filled with what?
Life.
Who is life?
Christ.
He's the what spirit?
Life-giving
what spirit?
Life.
He's the life-giving spirit.
Amen.
Point to your neighbor. In you.
In you.
Hallelujah. He's the life-giving spirit in you.
In you.
Hallelujah. He wants to fill us with life. The Lord hates death. In the Old Testament, I didn't mention it. In the Old Testament, if you sinned, you could make an offering for sin. But if you touched death, you were left out for 7 days. You couldn't go in. You couldn't have fellowship. You had to wait 7 days because of death. Death was more sinful. Not sinful. Death was more serious to the Lord than sin. Sin He can take care of, but death He hates. Don't touch death. He has nothing to do with death because He's what? He's the living one. That's what, He's full of life.
Amen.
And He's come that we might have life. Amen.